Today's shir is L'zeicha Nishmas, Rabbi Yehuda Leib and Shmuel. Today's shir is Masechta Megillah Daf Yodalad. We will begin on Daf Yod Gimel Mabez, the bottom line. The Pasuk says in the Megillah of Yom HaMelech L'Haman, Achashverosh says to Haman, HaKesef Nosloch, you could have the money, V'am Lasas Boi Ketoy Beinecha, and you could do with the people, V'Kla Yisrael, whatever you want. Amar Rab Abba. So Rab Abba explains, Marshall, how do we understand this conversation between Achashverosh and Haman? Marshall, the Achashverosh for Haman, Lamad David Omer, how can we understand it? L'shnei bnei Adam, we have two people. Lecher hayol itel, b'tech sadeya, one had a stack of earth in his field. Lecher hayol itel, b'tech sadeya, and one had a ditch in his field. Baal charitz, Omar, the person who owns the ditch says, "Me'itin le'tels abedamim. I would be ready to pay money for this mound of earth that I could use to fill up my ditch. Obal tel amam, me'itin li'charetz abedamim. I would be willing to have this ditch to be able to put my excess earth into that ditch. Nizyamim, nizdav guzei etzolzeh. These two people meet up. So the person on the ditch tells the person who owns the stack of earth, "Mechali tilcha, sell me, please, your pile of earth. Take it for free. Halvai, it should be that case." And that's the situation that happened here as well. The Haman and Achashverosh look at each other, that they both had the same needs. They both were interested in getting rid of Klal Yisrael. So the morale explains this Gemara, that a tail, even though somebody has a pile of earth, the pile of earth doesn't bother anybody. The ditch could do damage. Achashverosh's view of Klal Yisrael was like a tail, that even though he doesn't really need them, they don't really bother him. Haman can look at Klal Yisrael as a charitz, as a ditch. That not only has he no need for the ditch, but actually the ditch could cause him problem. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada offers, that a charitz gets filled up and there's no zecher, there's no reminder that there was once a ditch here. But when we look at a tail, when we look at the earth, even though the earth may not be where it was originally, but we still have the earth somewhere else. He says again, that's the difference between Haman and Achashverosh. Haman wanted to completely close up that ditch, that they should no longer be in existence. Achashverosh had no problem that they still exist. The Naf Yosef says, the approach to understand this Gemara is that they both hated Klal Yisrael, but their approach to hating Klal Yisrael came from very different places. Achashverosh looked at Klal Yisrael as a tail. A tail is, as I keep on saying, a pile of earth. He looked at Klal Yisrael as something that is tall, and that's why he did not like Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael represented to him something and people that are too great. And he didn't want them, he couldn't accept that they should be in his country. Whereas Haman looked at Klal Yisrael as a charitz. Klal Yisrael was looked at like a ditch, as something that is lowly, that you want to get rid of. The Mefarshim also point out that Kesef is Begematria 8. And what they were saying was that right now it looks like we're wealthy, we have Kesef. But at the end, it's going to be, Tosfos explains, that as we know, Haman was ultimately hung on the tree. It says the Gemara, V'yasa melech as tabatoi, the king takes off the king his ring, mal yodoi, v'yitna lohaman ben amdoso agogi, Tsoyre her Yehudi. Amrab Abba Bar Kahana. G'doy la'asar tabas, when Achashverosh took off the ring from his finger, that was even more powerful. Yois Mabar Shmoin and Neviim Shev Neviyas, the 48 Neviim and the 7 Neviyas Shnes Nabul El Yisrael that said Nevuah for Klal Yisrael. Shekulam, all of them did not have this success of Achzir and Lamutov to cause Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Vila Saras Tabas, when Achashverosh took off this ring and sealed the decree, that Achziras and Lamutov caused them to do tshuva. So Mashua says, what's the Gemara trying to teach us with this taking off the ring by teaching us that caused us to do tshuva? So he explains, usually when somebody sells something to someone else, it's the buyer who has to give the guarantee. Here we find that Achashverosh, who so to speak, sold out Klal Yisrael to Haman, was the one that was giving the guarantee. What is to show here? The deep hatred that Achashverosh had to Klal Yisrael. He was ready to give up the ring just because of his intense hatred to Klal Yisrael. And because we see here his intense hatred to Klal Yisrael, that's what got Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. The Anaf Yosef has a different approach. He says that usually, as it says in the Megillah, anything that is sealed by the king is final. But they knew that Klal Yisrael knew about Achashverosh, that he's the kind of person that could change his mind. So because they saw him take off the ring, anywhere else would see them taking off the ring, that would be an indication that it's final and there's nothing that can be done. But when they knew they were dealing with Achashverosh, who has this tendency of changing his mind, they knew just because he took off his ring, it isn't final, and they still have the opportunity to do tshuva. And that's why that they decided to do tshuva. Another pshat that I saw is that the king, this is a pshat that the Maharal suggests, the king takes off his ring, he's so to speak announcing that this has nothing to do with me anymore. The only one that has control now is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he was, so to speak, so Klal Yisrael understood at that moment that our Yeshua, that all of our hope and prayer could only go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that if we do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us. So, quotes the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Abba Mishmona Neviim, Mishav Neviyas Nisnabal Am Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had 48 Neviim and 7 Neviyas. Lepichsuv La Yisiru, not any more nor any less. Lepichsuv La Yisiru, they did not add or take off a Mashikos B'Torah. The pasuk says, Elo Mitzvah Shetziv Hashem as Maisa, that a Navi has no right to add anything over what it says in the Torah. Chutz Mikra Megillah, except for Mikra Megillah. So many Rishonim, of course, ask the question that we know that Shas is replete with different rules that were instituted by Chazal. So how can we suggest that there was no, that the Chazal cannot anything? So the Ran and many other Rishonim explain. When we look at all the Gezeiros of Chazal, the purpose of those Gezeiros are to protect what it says in the Torah. For example, we have the rule of Erevin. So the rule of Erevin is a way to make sure that we won't carry on Shabbos. We have the rule of Netilas Yadayim. Before we eat, we have to wash our hands. Again, the purpose of that rule is to make sure that we won't in any way allow Tumah to come into our hands. But when we think about the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is a very different type of mitzvah. Is a very, very different type of mitzvah. Kriyas Megillah represents a new halacha. It's not here to protect something. It's not a gedder and a siyog to what's here in the Torah. It's here to be a whole new mitzvah. And that's why the Gemara is focused on Mikra Megillah. The Maharal explains that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos says, V'yisiyatsu b'tach t'sahar, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that Peiches says, Amar Rav Dimi bar Chama bar Chosso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to throw the mountain on their heads and said, "Im atem mekabel masatayra." If you are ready to be mekabel tayra mutav, great. Vimlav sham teik for aschem not, you will be buried. Says the Gemara further, Amarava af pikein hadu kiblu b'meich hashverish. Even though when we received the tayra by Hasinai, it was under duress. In the time of Achashverosh, in the time of Purim, we accepted it beratzen, willingly. As the Pasuk says in the Megillah, says Rava, Kimu v'kiblu yehidu, Kimu mashakiblu kfar. They were makabalit beratzen. So it turns out that this new mitzvah, the mitzvah that we're discussing now, the mitzvah of Purim, of Megillah, was a new mitzvah. And not only was it a new mitzvah, explains the Maral, it was a mitzvah that was unlike all other mitzvahs. It was a mitzvah that we accepted upon ourselves willingly with great emotion and great enthusiasm. Once we were makabel this mitzvah, he says, it reflected that all the other mitzvahs that we accepted now fall into the category that we're accepting them, b'ahava u'b'ratzon. Chanukah, the Rishonim say, was not accepted by Nevi'im. It came not through a Nevi'im. Mordechai was a Navi, and that's why Chanukah is not the same as the Megillah. Midrash. So says the Gemara, from where did they take that we should add this new mitzvah, Purim Megillah? Says the Gemara, Amar Avchi Bar Oven, Amar Bishu Ben Karcha, Ma, Me'avdus L'cheiris, when Klai Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim. So we weren't in physical danger. Amin on Shira, we said Shira on the Yam, Misal Chayim. So by Purim, where we were in mortal danger, like Koshkein, we certainly said Shira. So of course the Torah even asks, we weren't in mortal danger on Pesach, weren't we standing by the Yamsuf, almost drowning? So he explains, it's not the Kavachomer, it's not from the last day of Pesach. It's not from the Shira that we said by the Yamsuf, where indeed we were in mortal danger. The Shira, the Kavachomer, the Gemara is bringing, is from the first day of Pesach. There, when we were taken out of Egypt, it was from Abdus. It wasn't from mortal dangers. Others explain that the Kavachomer is from the Din of Agarta Levincha. That if on the first day of Pesach, if the first day of Pesach, we know we're obligated to do the mitzvah of Agadat Levincha, to tell over the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us by taking us out of Mitzrayim, even though we weren't in mortal danger, certainly Purim, where we were in mortal danger, we have to say Shira. Yochi, ask the Gemara if that's the case, Halal Nami Neima. So we should say Halal on Purim. Answers the Gemara, we don't say halal on a nes that we said on in chutzlarts. So the Torah Evan brings a raya that the halal we're speaking about here is not about the halal that we said on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Again, the halal that we're speaking about here is the halal that we say on the first day of Yontif. And just like we say halal on the first day of Yontif, we should also say halal on Purim. So, Rav Gifter explains the Gemara as follows, that as long as the Gemara wasn't learning from Yetzias Mitzrayim, we could easily make a distinction between what happened on Purim and what happened in Mitzrayim. For he explains, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim, the miracles that were happening, were begolui. They were so obvious, the great Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing on our behalf. So therefore, it was obvious that we ought to say halal. But the Nisim that happened by Purim were b'derech hateva, as we often speak about. And because of that, one can make a decision, one can make an argument, we can't learn from Pesach to Purim. But now that our Gemara is learning from Pesach to Purim, so now the question is, why don't we learn that we should say Halal as well? The Brisker Rav, in explaining this Gemara, says that there are two elements of Halal. And the Brisker Rav is very much in line with the Torah Evan. There's one element of Halal that the Yontif requires that we should say Hallel. The other element of Hallel is a Shira, that we're singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim that He does for us. And therefore the Gemara is saying, explains the Brisker Rav, that just like by the Seder, we sing the Hallel. And we know that the Hallel that we say by the Seder represents a Shira, a song. And that's why it doesn't have the usual halakas of Hallel. We don't make a bracha on the Hallel that we say by the Seder, because it's a Shira. It's a whole new category. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we ought to say Shira, that type of Hallel, on Purim as well. And the Gemara says, Lefish ein ois eim Hallel anesha b'chutzlarts. So the Mashah explains, a nes that happens in Eretz Yisrael happens as Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Eini Hashem alakach ba, Mereshis Hashanah v'Achlis Hashanah, Hashem has direct connection to Eretz Yisrael. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that direct connection to Eretz Yisrael, it's appropriate that we say Shira to Him. But Nisim that happen in Chutz Laaretz don't have that direct connection. And therefore, since it doesn't have that direct connection that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't apply to say Shira. I saw that the Sefer Emek Bracha says along the same line. He says, Nisim that happen in Eretz Yisrael are much more obvious. The more obvious the Nes is, the more that we're required to say Shira. And that's why the Nisim that happen in Eretz Yisrael, we say Shira. But Nes that happen in the Chutz Laaretz, we don't say Shira. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nes b'Chutz Laaretz. Yetzias Mitzrayim also happened in the Chutz Laaretz. So Heichi Amri Shira, answers the Gemara, Kiritanya. Actually, Nichnas Yisrael Eretz, until Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, Hukshu Kala Rotzus Lemeshira. Then indeed, there's no difference between Eretz Yisrael and all other places. However, Mishenichnas Yisrael Eretz, once Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, Lukshu Kala Rotzus Lemeshira, we only could say Shira, as we just said, on a Nes that happened in Eretz Yisrael. So, ask the Turi Evin, and again, this is in line with what he's been teaching us. Why are we saying that the Nes that we say, the Hallel that we say on Pesach is because of where the Nes took place? Maybe we're saying the Hallel on Pesach because of Yontif. And Yontif requires that we should say Hallel no matter where the Nes happened. So he explains that could be understood if we're speaking about the Hallel that we say on Yontif by davening. So that Hallel is indeed said, L'kavod Yontif. But the Hallel that we say by the Seder is not the Hallel that we're saying, L'kavod Yontif. The Hallel that we say at the Seder is L'kavod Shira. And therefore the Gemara's question between Pesach and Purim is very understandable. And the Shita gives a different explanation, what makes Eretz Yisrael special. He says, once Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, and they built the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash there was the Duchan, the platform where the Levim said Shira. So once they had such a place, then it was appropriate that they should say only Shira that comes with the Levim singing in the Beis HaMikdash. But that was only after the Beis HaMikdash was established in Eretz Yisrael. Before that was ever established, Eretz Yisrael did not have that unique attribute. Rav Nachman has a different explanation. Kriyasa Suhilula. The reason we don't say Hallel on Purim is because the Megillah is in the place of the Shira. And the Miri says a very bechidish. Says the Miri, since our Gemara is teaching us that Kriyasa Suhilula, if someone would be in a place, suggests the Miri, where he doesn't have a Megillah and he can't read the Megillah, he should say Hallel instead of the Megillah. Because according to Rav Nachman, says the Meiri, the only reason we're not saying Hallel on Purim is because the Megillah is in its place. But if we're not reading the Megillah, then it makes sense that we should say, Hallel. Most disagree with the Meiri. The Shari Tshuva quotes that Meiri, and the Shari Tshuva says that once Chazal did not establish that we should say Hallel on Purim, even though, as the Gemara indeed says, because also Zeilula, so the saying of the reading the Megillah is in its place. But now Purim became a Yontif when we don't say Hallel. Once Purim became a Yontif, that we don't say Hallel, that we don't say Hallel even when you don't have a Megillah. But the Shari Tshuva does suggest that if somebody doesn't have access to a Megillah, so you shouldn't say Hallel with a bracha, but he should be allowed to say Hallel without a bracha. Rav Amma, Rav says a different reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim. Bishlam Ahasam, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, we said Hallel, because we could say the words Hallel Avdei Hashem, we are no longer Avdei Paroi. Ela Hocha, when it comes to Purim, Hallel Avdei Hashem, can we make this declaration, Hallel Avdei Hashem, V'lei Avdei Achashverish? Akati, unfortunately, Avdei Achashverish, when the Nes of Purim happened, there was still Avdei Achashverish. The Divrei Shaul, in explaining what Rav Nachman says, Kriyusa Zuilula, approaches it with this concept that we speak about all the time. He says, the Gemara says that Ha'imer, Kol Ha'imer Hallel B'chol Yoyim, if somebody recites Hallel every day, Hareza Mecharif Umegadev. A Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis explains the Divrei Shaul. Somebody, why is it so terrible if somebody says Hallel every day? On the contrary, maybe it ought to be encouraged. The person is praising and thanking Hashem for what He does for us. So he says there are two ways that a Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. He runs the world with the Derech HaTeva, the way that we know He runs the world. The world runs in its usual fashion, and it's even though it looks like usual, even though it looks like Teva, it's all Hashgacha Pratis, but that's the way the world works. And that's the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the world to run. And then there's Hanhaga Nisus. The Kodesh Baruch Hu at certain times make Nisim. Explains the Divrei Shaul. Purim is the Yontif that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Teva. For what doesn't necessarily look like a Nes, still represents a tremendous Nes. And therefore, if you say Hallel on Teva, then you're Mechara from Megadif. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to recognize that there are two ways He runs the world, with Nisim and with Teva. And Purim is the Yontif of Teva. And since Purim is the Yontif of Teva, Hallel is not appropriate for Purim. So of course, all the Mefarshim ask on this last explanation that we just learned, that we're still Avdei Achashverosh. So the Mefarshim ask that we're still Avdei Paroi. We may not be physically in Egypt, but we're certainly still in Golus. So if we're still in Golus, how can we say Hallel on Pesach when we're back in Golus? So the Kli Chemda explains, when we say Hallel on Pesach, when we speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are two elements to that Nes. One was the Gulas HaNefesh, and one was the Gulas HaGuf. Gulas HaGuf means that we physically saved. Gulas HaNefesh is, as we know, Klal Yisrael was in Memtesh Shari Tumah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we had a Gulas HaNefesh. Even though, unfortunately, we're back in Golus, and therefore the Gulas HaGuf that we experienced by Yetzias Mitzrayim sort of expired, but the Gulas HaNefesh that we experienced still is with us. We are Klal Yisrael, and that can never be taken away from us. We received the Torah. But, he goes on to explain, as we know, when we speak about Purim, the difference, as the Torah indicates, between Purim and Chanukah. Chanukah, he explains, is a yontif of the Gulas HaNefesh. Purim is a yontif of the Gulas HaGuf. And that's why on Purim, the way we primarily celebrate the yontif is with Mishnah with Simcha. And therefore, on Purim, since the whole point of the yontif is the Gulas HaGuf, and unfortunately, we are still in Golus, it therefore says, Rava, it doesn't make sense that we should say Hallel. If the Nes was the Gulas HaGuf, Vakati Avdei Achashverosh Anon. Ask the Gemara, Bein L'Rava, Bein L'Rav Nachman. Both according to Rava, who says the reason we don't say Hallel is because we're still Avdei Achashverosh. According to Rav Nachman, that we don't say that the Megillah is in the place of Hallel, Kasha. For Tanya, Shenichnas L'Eretz L'Yochshu Kol Eretz L'Mashira. Once, so that should be the reason. Why do Rav and Rav Nachman give different reason? From Rav and Rav Nachman, it seems that we would be able to say Hallel on a Nes that happens on Chutz L'Eretz. But that's not true, because the Braisa clearly indicated that we can't say Hallel for a Nes that happened in Chutz L'Eretz. Answers the Gemara that according to Rav and Rav Nachman, Kivin Shigalu, once Klai Yisrael went into Golos, they go back to their original status, and we don't only say Howl for Nisim that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara of Suleka. The Gemara says there were only 48 Nevi'im. Ask the Gemara of Ksiv. The Pasuk says regarding Elkanah, the husband of Chana, the father of Shmuel. The Pasuk says, V'hi esh echod min ha-ramasayim tsoifim. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Echad Masayim Tsoifim, Shnesnabalam Lisrol. He was one of the 200 Nevi'im that said Nevuah for Klai Yisrael. So what are we saying? There were only 48 Nevi'im. Answers the Gemara, Mia Tuvahava. There were indeed many more than just 48 Nevi'im. Kiratanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Harbi Nevi'im Omdalam Yisrael, Keflaim Kiyotz Mitzrayim. There were more Nevi'im, double than the amount that were of the amount of people that left Mitzrayim, double 600,000 people. However, Nevuah she'otzrach l'dayrus, Nevuah that we needed for future generations, nichtava, and that's the Nevi'im that we're speaking about. She'otzrach l'dayrus, even though they said Nevuah, but it was not a Nevuah that was left for posterity, loy nichtava. Reshmul Nachmeni, that the definition of Masayim Tsoifim is that he lived on top of two mountains that faced each other. The reason he's called Masayim Tsoifim, he comes from people that are on top of the world. Manninu, who are these individuals who are on the top of the world? B'nei Koirach. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Koirach, regarding the Bnei Koirach, or Bnei Koirach Loimesu. And says the Gemara, Tanam Mishum Rabbeinu, Makam Mispatzalam Gehenim, they have a high spot in Gehenim, V'amdulav, and that's where they stood, and that's how they were saved, and Elkanah was a descendant from them. And as the Mepharshim explained, Bnei Koirach Loimesu, that means they were close to death, but they actually never died. Sheven Nevi'is Maninu, says the Gemara, we learned there were five Nevi'is. Who were they? Says the Gemara, Sarah, Miriam, Devarah, Chana, Abigail, Chulda, Esther. Sarah, how do we know that Sarah was a Nevi'ah? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'yikach Avram v'nachem l'am Noshim, Shem Eshes Avram Sarai, V'shem Eshes Nochem Milka Baskaran, Avi Milka V'yiska. Why was Sarah called Yiska? Yiska Zusara. Yiska. Why was Sarah called Yiska? She saw Ruach HaKodesh, that she was able to see Ruach HaKodesh because she had Nevuah. Shenemar, as indeed the pasuk says, Kol Shataima Elecha Sarah Shema B'Koyla. Whatever she says, listen to her. Davar Acher Yiska. Why was she called Yiska? She Kol Sakim B'Yofya. Everybody looked at her beauty. So the Mepharshim asked, why are the other Imas, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, who are Nevi'is, not mentioned? So the Sif Secham answers, we just learned that the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Kol HaShatayim HaLecha Sarah Shema B'Koyla. So the Pasuk explicitly says that Sarah was a Nevi'ah. The Pasuk does not say that she was a Nevi'ah for the other Imas were Nevi'ahs, and that's why they're not mentioned. Another Teretz, which is the Teretz the Mashal suggests, going back to what we said a moment ago, he says that only Nevi'ahs that said Nevuah that applied for posterity, for future generations, are mentioned as Nevi'ahs. Sarah said Nevuah that applied to a future generations, but the other ones did not say Nevuah that applies to future generations, and that's why they're not mentioned. So the Mepharshim ask, why do we have to have two psukim to teach us the same limud, Shema B'Koyla and Yiska that she was a Neviya, that Tsar was a Neviya. So the Sfas Emes answers that if we would just say, just have the Pasuk of Yiska, it would mean that she's a Neviya, but it doesn't mean necessarily that she was a Neviya for all future generations. And we're learning, says the Sfas Emes, that we're only mentioning Neviyas that apply for all future generations. So that's why we had to have the Pasuk of Kol Shatay Melech Asara, Shema B'Koyla, that not only is she a Neviya, but she's a Neviya that a Nevuah applies for all future generations. Miriam, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'tikach Miriam HaNeviya. Ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says there as well, V'tikach Miriam HaNeviya, Achais Aaron, as a Toif B'yoda. So why, ask the Gemara, Achais Aaron, is she only the sister of Aaron V'lai Achais Moshe? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. Shais Mesnabek She Achais Aaron. She said Nevuah when she was still just the sister of Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't yet born. By Marison, she said, Asid Imi Shetel Ben, She Yishias Yisrael. My mother will have a baby who will be the person that will save Kla Yisrael. V'shashin Raylat, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nesmala Kolabayis Kula Oira. The entire house was full of light. Amar Raviyah, her father got up, v'nishko reisha, and kissed her, and said to her, Amar Abiti, Neskai Menuva Asayich, your nevuah has been fulfilled. The kivin, sheshlechu l'yor, but when Moshe Rabbeinu had to be thrown into the river, Amar Avia tafcha reisha, her father came and gave her a clap on the head. V'amar Abiti, heich nevuah asayich, you said your brother will be the leader, future of leader of Klai Yisrael, and now he's being thrown into the water. Says the Gemara, Hainu the Ksiv, V'tisatzev Achoysa Merochek Ledeya. She stood over there to see Lidas Maye B'Soif Nevasa. She was concerned that her brother, that it was proving that her Nevuah was not a true Nevuah. And therefore, she stood to see what's going to happen. I saw the Rabbeinu Soloveitchik explains that she was sure that she's a Nevuah. And because she was sure that she was a Neviya, she was the individual that stood for and watched to make sure to say something's going to happen here. And maybe I could be of help because I am confident that if I saw this Nevuah will be true. Devar d'ksiv, v'devar isha Neviya, eshes lapidus. My eshes lapidus, shayis oisa psilus b'migdash. She used to make those wicks for the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. He, Yoshev, is Tachas Toimer, asked him, Amayishna, why did she sit under this date tree? My Tachas Toimer, Amar Rav Shimon ben Avshalom, Mishim Yichud. People would come to her for Din Torah, and since people would come to her Din Torah, she didn't want to remain alone with these individuals, and therefore, she didn't stay alone. And I saw the Inyan Yaakov explains. The Gemara says that Kishabon Baldin Lefanecha, when the Baldin comes to you, Yebeinech Kurushoyim. So even though normally, maybe there would not be a concern of Yichud, where you're sitting under a tree, in such a public area, but when the people that are coming to you are individuals who are not trustworthy individuals, then you have to be more concerned with Hilchas Yichud. And therefore, because she was more concerned with Hilchas Yichud, even when she sat Tachas Hatamar, even when she sat under the tree, she acted in that way. The question that comes up as we discuss this Gemara is, can a woman be appointed to a position of authority? There's a tshuva in Devar Smosha, Yoridea, Chelik Beis, Simen Mem Dalad, where he discusses there was an individual who was a Mashgiach, a Kashrus Mashgiach, and he passed away. And the family, unfortunately, has no source of income. And his wife would like to assume his position, that he was the Mashgiach. And the question is the position of a Mashgiach a position of Srora, is a position of authority that one may not be appointed to, a woman may not be appointed to such a position. So Ramosha makes 2 points. Number one, he says, it's not quite clear that being a Mashgiach is a position of authority. Number two, he says, besides that it's not quite obvious that it's considered a position of authority, he also suggests that the mashgiach is responsible to inform whoever is giving the hashgacha what is going on, and they carry the ultimate responsibility. So it turns out, says Ramosha, that the mashgiach is not the person who is in charge, it's the hashgacha is in charge. And therefore, the mashgiach is not considered that he's in a position of authority, and therefore, a woman can be appointed to that position. Davachar, ma tamazeh, we speak about the day tree, ein lo ela lev echad, all of the sap of the tree is in the trunk of the tree. Af Yisrael Shabbai Sador, so too Klai Yisrael in the time of the Vayra, lo ha'elam ela lev echad, levim shebishamayim. They were completely devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chana, how do we know that Chana was a Neviyah? Says the Gemara, the Ksivet Tespal Chana, v'tama, and she said, Ol Tzlibi Bashem, Rama Karni Bashem. So she pointed at Rama Karni, which means a horn, like on the head of an animal, v'loi Rama Pachi, not a pitcher. Says the Gemara, what was she saying? Dovid Shloima, Shenimshcha B'Karen, Dovid HaMelech and Shloima HaMelech, who were anointed with oil that was in a horn, Nimshuk Machotzim Lailam. Their melucha was forever. Shaul v'yehu, Shenimshuk B'Pach, they were anointed with oil from a pitcher, Lo Nimshuk Machotzim. Chana was able to see this. Ein Kodesh Kashem came Baltecha, continuing the tefillah of Chana. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Menashe, Al Tikri Baltecha, Ela Levalosecha. They don't outlive you. Like him in the Kodesh Baruch Hu Midas Bas Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very different than a human being. Midas Bas Adam, Mas Yodov Mavlon Oysoi. The person, what he creates, outlasts him. Aber HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mavlon Mas Yodov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will outlast all of us. And certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu outlasts anything that he created. Another pshat that I saw is that the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is higher and greater than the Kedusha of anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Malachim, the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than the Kedusha of the Malachim. And certainly the greater than the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And that's what's meant here. Vein Tzur Kelokeinu, says the Gemara, ain't Sire Kelokeinu. There's no sculptor, no artist as great as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Tzor Tzor Agav HaKaisel, if somebody paints a painting on the wall, any yachal atu by ruach neshama, krevayim b'neimayim, he can't put life into it, he can't put organs into it. Aber HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzar tzura b'tach tzura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates one person in the womb of his mother, in the womb of another individual, and matu by ruach neshama, krevayim b'neimayim. Avigayel, the next individual that's called a Navi is an Avigayel. And in order to understand the Gemara, we have to speak about the story of Naval and his wife Avigayel. Avigayel was a very special woman, and her husband Naval was a wealthy person. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and David HaMelech asked him, as David HaMelech was on the run from Avshalom, to please give him, he needs food. Naval refused. Says the Gemara, when Avigayel discovered what her husband did, and David HaMelech wanted to kill him, as we're going to see in the Gemara, Avigayel came to beg David HaMelech to have mercy on Naval. And that's indeed what happened, because Avigayel's convincing argument, David had Rachmanis. But afterwards, after 10 days, Naval died, and ultimately, as we're going to learn, David HaMelech married Avigayel. Says the Gemara, Avigayel, v'hi recheves l'chamar, d'ksiv, v'hi recheves l'chamar, v'yiredes b'sei sahar. She's riding on the donkey going down the mountain. B'sei sahar, says the Gemara, what is the wording, b'sei sahar? Minahami boile. It should have said that she was going down the mountain. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Mary b'shmul, Aleske dam habam nesasarim. She was coming to ask him a question on Hilchus Nida. Not ladam v'harisaloi. She took the dam nida and she showed him. Amrlo. So David asked Avigayel v'chimar dam belayla. I can't paskin the shayla. You're coming to me in the evening. In the evening, a question in Hilchas Nida may not be answered. Amala v'chidon adon nefash b'layla. But you want to label my husband a traitor and kill him. But how can you paskin such a shayla b'layla? Amala mar b'malchusu. He is a married in Malchus, and since he's married in Malchus, the regular rules that apply to a din Torah don't apply to married in Malchus. Shaul is still living. Nobody knows yet that you're really king. I thank you for preventing me from doing this kind of question. The halacha is that one can't paskin a shayla of dam belayla, because as the Aruch HaShulchan explains, there are two types of dam. There's dam we were going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in Masechet Nida. There's dam tor and dam tamei. So if you need to be able to identify if the dam is dam tor or dam tamei, that takes great expertise, and that type of a decision cannot be rendered by night. But if you have to paskin on dam, if all dam is tamei, and all you need to determine is if it's dam or it's not dam, that can be done even by night. And that's why Rabbanim paskin these type of shayles by night. Says the Gemara, damim tarti mashma. The pasuk says, damim. If the entire conversation they were having was regarding dam nida, why does the pasuk use the lashon rabim? Ella says the Ramalam shagil sashayka. She uncovered her leg for halach la'ila shalish parasaz, and he went followed her for three parasaz because he wanted to marry her and because the beauty that he saw in her. Amala hashmili, have relations with me. Amalai loyzchiyazos lapuka. This should not be for you a stumbling block. Don't do it. It's the wrong thing to do, says the Gemara, Mzois, but she said the word Zois, the Milklal Dika Chriti. There was another situation where he will fail. Mainiu, where was that other situation? The story of Maisa Besheva. Omaskana, and indeed that's what happened, that even though he did not do the wrong thing with Avigail, he did have, as we discussed the other day, the whole story of Besheva, the wife of Uriah. Of course, the Mefarshim ask, if Avigail was such a great tzaddikus, how did she reveal her leg? That's not tznius. So Mefarshim explained that Chas v'Shalom, one should suggest that she revealed her leg deliberately. As she was getting on or off the donkey, it got uncovered by itself, and that's where David HaMelech ultimately fell, and ultimately saw her. The Sif Secham explains what she meant to say is like this. The Gemara says, Kala oiva aveira, if somebody violates aveira, v'shonaba, and then repeats that aveira, nasis like a heter. He thinks that he's allowed to always violate that aveira. Avigail was telling David HaMelech, don't do an aveira with me, and then do the same aveira with Bathsheba. Because if you're going to do the same aveira twice, then nasis like a heter. It's going to be something that you're going to think you're always allowed to do, and of course you don't want to fall into that category. Says the Gemara, she continued, Abigail continues telling David HaMelech, V'hoysa nefesh adoni tzrura b'tzor ha'chayah. Kavis mifter minay, when she was going away from David, Amrlei, she said to him, V'heitav Hashem la'adoni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be good to you, V'zacharta samasacha, and you should please remember me. Amr Rav Nachman, Hanid Amri Inchi, this is what people say about women. Itisa, b'hadish shutsa pilcha, even as she's weaving, she's thinking about other things. And here too, what she was trying to say is that she was telling David HaMelech, even as you remember me, and one day we'll be able to get married. The Maril Diskin explains what she was saying to David HaMelech by saying, V'hosh nafshi tzuru b'tzuru chayim, as the Gemara says, that Shaul, as we often discuss in this Masechta, made one error with keeping Agag, Melech Amalek, alive, and that caused him to lose his kingdom. Whereas David HaMelech made more than one mistake, and he still survived. Ikedamri, Shafa v'avza ba'avza. As the goose is walking on the ground, and na'im mitfai, he's looking further for food. She, even though she was still married, she was thinking about the day after that David would be an appropriate husband. Chulda d'ksiv. Chulda is another one of the Nevi'im. D'ksiv, the pasuk says, v'yelech chukyo ha'koyin, v'achikam, v'achbar, v'shafam al-chulda nevi'ah. The pasuk says that after the time the Menashe was Melech of Yisrael, after he was the Melech of Yisrael, what happened was Klal Yisrael began to go down in the Ruchnius. And there were no Sifrei Torah even in Klal Yisrael until Yeshua became king. And Yeshua did follow the Derech of Hashem. And he sent Chilkiyahu Kohen Gadol and Shafan HaSofer to refurbish the Beis HaMikdash. As they're refurbishing the Beis HaMikdash, they found the Sefer Torah, and they opened up the Sefer Torah, and it said, Yoelech Hashem Oysach, the Pasuk in the Teichacha, Yoelech Hashem Oysach, Ves Malkecha Ashetokim Alecha, El Goya Shlo Yoda, Data Ata Vavasecha, Vavarat Hashem Elhim Echerim, Eitz V'Evzen. When Yeshua heard this terrible news, he immediately tore his clothing, and he sent a message to Chulda to ask him, what is this message? So she sent back that because Klal Yisrael are worshipping Avodah Zarah, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. However, you who are doing the right thing, it will not happen in your time. Ask the Gemara, however, if Yirmiyahu was still alive, how could have Chulda said Nevuah? Amri Bei Rav Mishmei de Rav, Chulda Kroiv Yirmiyahu Hava. Chulda was a relative of Yirmiyahu, and Laya Makbala, it didn't bother him. He was Michaelar. So the Ben Yoyada asks, Nevuah is not something that you have a choice. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Nevuah to Chulda, she had to say it. So why is the Gemara questioning, why did Chulda say Nevuah? So the Ben Yoyada answers that somebody cannot become a Navi unless they prepare themselves to be a Navi. The Gemara's question is, how did Chulda allow herself to do whatever it takes to prepare herself to be a Navi if Yirmiyahu was already there? And the Gemara says, because Yirmiyahu didn't care, he was a relative. But now ask the Gemara, why did Yeshua ask the question from Chulda and not from Yirmiyahu? Answer the Gemara, Ami debate of Sheila, Neshanashim Rachmanis saying, women have no more Rachmanis. So of course the Mashah answers that Nevuah is not something that she says herself. Nevuah is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells her. So why does it make a difference if she's about Rachmanis? So the Mashah explains that of course the Nevuah has to be said as the message is told to be said. But when a woman hears bad news in her nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because women are Rachmanis, they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save Klal Yisrael. And that's why Yeshua, who was concerned that this represented bad news, knew that let Chulda be the one to dive in for us as well. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the reason he sent to Chulda, because Yirmiyahu lo yav asam. Yirmiyahu wasn't there. Shaholach, the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golis. Sancheriv sent them into Golis, and he went to bring them back. It says the Ramanol and the Hadar. How do we know that the Aseres HaShvatim came back? The Ksiv, Kamoicha al Mimka lo Yoshev. The Klai Yisrael, the Pasuk says in Cheskel, that if Klai Yisrael doesn't do tshuva, they won't come back to Etz Yisrael. And if Klai Yisrael is not in Etz Yisrael, Yovel doesn't apply. It says the Gemara, I don't understand. How could the Navi say, Efshi Yovel Batel, if Klal Yisrael wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Yovel was abolished, Navi Misnabe Olav Shiz Batel, how could the Navi say Nevuah that it will be abolished? Ella Melamed Shemiyah Gziram. Yemiyah brought them back to Eretz Yisrael, and once he brought them back to Eretz Yisrael, the Yovel came back, and then it got abolished when we went to Golis again. Yeshua ben Amon, V'yishevam molech aleihem, d'ksiv, v'yomem ma'atzin al-zeh shani roya, v'yomem alav anshi'ir, ha'kever ish al-kim eshabam Yehuda, it's the kever of a person came from Yehuda, v'yikras adrama elah shasisa al-mizbeach v'beisel, Says the Gemara, V'chim ativa Yeshua al mezbech v'beisel. The mezbech and beisel was avoid the Zora. And we're saying that Yeshua was a tzaddik. What was he doing there? Says the Gemara, El melamet Yeshua molech aleim. Yeshua was the melech over the people in beisel. Rav Nachman Mahocha, Kam Yehuda shos kitzelach, v'shos shvus emi. Esther is considered one of the Nevi'is, the Ksiv, V'yei b'yom ha'shlishi, after the decree that Achshverosh and Haman wrote to destroy Klal Yisrael the third day, the Tilbash Esther Malchus. Asked Gemara, Big day Malchus mi boile. Doesn't the pasuk mean to say that she put on the wardrobe of a queen? Ella, shalafsa ruach kodesh. She put on ruach kodesh. The ksiv hocha, the tilbash, the ksiv hasam, the ruach lovshe samosai, when Dovid HaMelech was running away from Shaul, who wanted to kill him. The pasuk says, "V'ruach lofsha amosai." Amosai was one of the Nevi'im. Amar Rav Nachman, "Laya yirasul nashi." It's inappropriate to give women too much power, too much authority. Tata nashi avarin. The two women that had that type of situation, v'sanyin shemayu, chadash shemal ziburta. One is named a bee. Devira means a bee. V'chadash shemal kakushta. Chulda means a weasel. Zaburtik Sibu, Vatishlach Vatikra Labarak, and we see that the Vira acted in she's calling Barak, even though Barak even though Barak was greater than her, she should have gone to him. Kakushtik Sibah Imrala Ish. She sent a message to Yoshio, but she calls him Ish. But that's not respectful. She should have called him Vrala Amru Imru Lamelach.